life is temporary. Before you know it, it's going to go by, and you don't realize where your life has gone. I'm kind of weird. You probably say, hey man, you are kind of weird, but some of the most poignant moments in my life has been in prayer through with the Lord, walking through a cemetery. Anybody ever done that, or is it just me? That you walk through, and even if I'm looking at graves of people who I don't even know who they are, but you can just see how life is short. And to me, that always crystallizes everything in my life. It makes it real clear as far as what's important in life. Is it getting the new car? Well, then somebody will hit you and your car won't be new anymore, right? Or my kid will dump a chocolate shake in the back like she's done, and then it smells like old sour milk for the rest of the time you own it. These things that we work for, these accomplishments in life, they're all temporary, right? They're all temporary. We should live for Jesus. I just want to put that out there. That Christ died and rose again to change us so that we would live for Christ. Bobby, is the plug in the back of the thing? That's okay. So we want to live for the Lord, and to be honest with you, before we know it, we're going to end up being in heaven, aren't we? Life goes by quick. You know what? Heaven will be nicer than here. I know that cross breeze is nice. Heaven will be even nicer than the breeze you're feeling right here. Heaven's going to be awesome. It's going to be spectacular. So Paul kind of points us in that direction today. As we get into the Word, we're going to see this. Today is part 9 of our series in Philippians. And the title of this message is Pressing On. We're going to be Philippians 3. We're actually going to finish up the rest of chapter 3 this week. And I pray that it'll mean something to you and that it'll challenge all of us today to live for Christ. Help us, Lord, as we look at your words, speak into our hearts clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to look at Philippians 3, verse 12. Does anybody need a bulletin or anything for the notes? No? Philippians 3, verse 12. Go ahead and open that up in your Bibles. Do you have a page number? 901? Page 901 if you have one of our Bibles from the seats. Verse 12, Paul says, I do not mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. We're going to take apart this opening verse. This is our main verse today. You already opened up your Bibles. Let's go ahead and read along this verse. Might as well do it again because this is the main gist of the message. I do not mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. What are these things he's talking about? I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things. Well, this comes from actually verse 10 through 11. If you want to look back, this is what we finished last week. Remember, he said that Christ has saved us. It's because of Christ. We're not righteous through what we do. Verse 10. Then he says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection of the dead. These things that he's talking about is living this awesome, perfect life that God called him to live. This life full of resurrection power. Remember, he said, I want to know him. And we talked last week about really knowing Jesus. Do you remember that? That it wasn't just knowing about him, but it's learning of him and from him, remember? Because Jesus wants to speak to us himself through his word, but through our hearts, through the Holy Spirit within us, and teach us more about him every day. Paul said, you know what? I'm not there yet. Not that I've already achieved these things. He's saying his relationship with the Lord, while I'm sure it was good, and I'm sure it's a high standard, he still says, I'm still not where I want to be. I still want to know him more. I still want more of Jesus, right? And then he goes on, and I want to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. What was that mighty power? The Bible said that's the Holy Spirit is the power that raised Christ from the dead, and that same Spirit lives within us. Paul is saying, you know what, I'm still not at that point where I'm completely filled of the Holy Spirit, where I allow God to work in my life, and it's completely Him, and none of it is me. He says, I'm still not there. Not that I've already reached those things. He also says, I want to suffer with Him, sharing in His death. Remember last week we talked about selfishly or selflessly living for Christ and not just whining about stuff that we have to go through, you know? That because Christ endured so much on the cross, and I love Him so much that I'm willing to go through whatever. And I'm not going to complain because Jesus suffered for me and didn't complain. I owe Him so much. I'm not going to complain. Paul says, I'm not there yet. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved that or that I've already reached perfection. Isn't that good to know that for me, I'm not the only one that's not there yet? Anybody else you could say today, you're not totally there yet of loving Jesus completely and entirely, knowing Him completely, being completely filled by the Spirit and completely ready to suffer for Him without complaint. Anybody not there yet along with me? Well, thank you, because some of you are there, and that's awesome. I'm glad that you are there, but the rest of us aren't. So we'll continue to go on. If you are there, I guess you can just, I don't know, do something for a little bit. That's good. Pray for us, right? Okay. But we press on. He says, but I press on to possess. I press on. This word, to press on to possess, King James says to apprehend. NIV says to take hold, but I take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. It's this idea of pushing yourself to fight through obstacles. I press on. How about when you don't feel like doing it? You still, you muster it up and you press on, right? Anybody ever bench press? Guys used to lift weights. I used to bench press. I know you could tell from my physique, right? Here comes the chuckles, okay? Meaning I don't have a physique. But nonetheless, I used to. And I know what it's like to be down. And the first couple were usually easy, right? Then when it gets down to that last one, even if you get it up, what does your coach always say, your spotter?
One more.
One more. It's always one more. And you go back and you strain. And you know what? When you're pushed and you decide, I'm getting this up, and you go, a lot of times you get it up, right? A lot of times you fight through it, and you feel good, you've pressed on, and you've won. It's kind of like that, I think. Sometimes in life, we don't feel like living for Jesus. But we need to determine, you know what? Christ did so much for me. If my goal is to know Jesus more, if my goal is to be filled with His Spirit, if my goal is to be able to get through life and be focused more on Him and less of me so I don't whine every time I hit a red light, if my goal is more that, even if I don't feel like loving the Lord, I'm just going to push myself to do it. Paul says, I take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I press on to take that, to take hold of that, right? Press on, push yourself. So, that's good. Because we're not saved because we work. But because we have been saved, we work for the Lord. Do you see how that works? I don't work for Jesus so I can get saved. I want to live for Him because He's done so much for me because I am saved. Because He's revolutionized my life, I just want to humbly submit to Him and live for Him. Do you see how that works out? So we don't go to church to get saved. We come to church and worship because He's changed us and we want to know more about Him, right? And we want to grow with each other. And I want to pick up my brother and take him closer to the Lord. And when I'm down, I want him to take me closer to the Lord. See, that's why we need the church, don't we? Because we're not always good all the time. Sometimes some of us can be up at the mountain and we feel like everything's great with the Lord. And your brother or sister next to you can feel like you're in the deepest pit you've ever been in your life. And that's why we have the church, to encourage each other. We press on. When you're weak, I'll pick you up and let's go. Let's go to Jesus. Let's press on into Him. So we need the church for that reason. He says, I press on to possess that perfection. Again, the perfection is that perfect life of living for Christ here. But also at the last part in verse 11, Paul says, or experience the resurrection of the dead. What is that? That's heaven. So this perfection he's talking about is living for Christ entirely, filled with the Spirit, but also getting to heaven one day. He said, I'm not there yet, but I'm pressing on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Wow, that verse, even that last phrase is awesome. This is the kind of life that Jesus called us to. For which Christ Jesus first possessed me. That Jesus saved me and He changed me because He's called me to live a life that is much higher than the life I lived as a sinner. Amen? He's called me to walk with Him and to hear His voice and to grow in Him. And it's a much greater calling than just caring about myself, putting myself first, living in sin, turning my back on God. He wants me to live the abundant life that Jesus spoke of, right? He's come to give life and life more abundantly. Life bigger, life greater, life with more joy than you could ever imagine. Remember, by joy, we said last week, that's not being happy. Joy is getting the truth of God in your heart, knowing that you can trust Him in whatever you get through. We trust Him that He's in control, right? We trust Him that His purposes will be accomplished. So he said, God came to give us a great life. Jesus came to give me a great life. And I want to reach that. Because that's the whole reason why He saved me. It's the whole reason why He's done a work in me. Is so He can change me. What a good thought. I press on to receive that life. And that's the whole reason why Jesus saved me. Is so I can live a life with Him, filled with His Spirit, and just going out to be used to change the world. And to make a difference. That more people, Lord willing, will go to heaven because of us than if we weren't ever here. Right? So that's good. On your paper, we're going to get into how do I press on? How do I press on? Isn't it neat that just right in the next verse, Paul tells us how we do this? How do we do this? He says, keep your focus intensely upon the return of Jesus. Let's dig into this and we'll look at the other part. Verse 13 and 14. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. He says, I haven't achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting your past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Yeah, keep your focus intensely upon the return of Jesus. And how do we do that? By intentionally forgetting the past, right? He says, This wind keeps blowing my page. Whew, come on. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. How do we forget the past? Well, here's a few things that we need to forget. The first one is to forget your old life's sin. If you want to write these down, to forget your old life's sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just, remember. He forgives us of all of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Psalm 103:10-12 says He doesn't punish us for all of our sins. He doesn't deal harshly with us as we deserve. For His unfailing love for those who fear Him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. We need to forget the sin that we've had in our life. If we've repented of that sin, I'm not saying we forget it on our own, but if we come to Christ and we've repented of our sin and we've asked Him to forgive us, the Bible said that He's washed it clean and He's removed it from us as far as the east is from the west. Isaiah 1:18, though your sins may be like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. God says He takes us and He changes us. Listen, sometimes we have things in our life where we've had sin and we've prayed and we've asked the Lord to forgive us, and then we still beat ourselves up for it. If you've sinned against somebody else, you need to go with them and be reconciled and tell them you're sorry. You need to ask forgiveness from God. But once you've done all you can as far as you made amends with, if it's possible, with a person you've sinned against, and you repented and you've prayed to God and asked for His forgiveness, we need to forget those things. We need to let the old sins go because they will keep us from living for Jesus. He says, I forget the past. Forget life's sins. If God's already forgotten, we need to forgive ourselves and we need to let them go. Right? We don't get to just hang on to the things we've done wrong. We need to let them go because if we're still holding on to the past, we can't march into the future. You know? If God wants to give us blessings, if our arms are just full of the things in the past, we can't receive the blessings from God that He wants to give us for the future because we're just beating ourselves up. We just have arms full of luggage from the past and we can't receive from God anymore because we're too focused on what happened behind. The old sin, if we've honestly dealt with it, we've given it to the Lord, and we've talked to other people, if say we've hurt them, if it's one of those kind of sins, then you need to lay them down. You need to forget that and move on. What else? Our old lifestyle. That's something we need to let go. Our old life sins, our old lifestyle. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. If we want to move on with the Lord, sometimes, I guess the Lord wanted the door closed. Sometimes we need to change our lifestyle, right? Through the help of the Lord. We need to. And if that's you, the Lord's speaking to you and you know what I'm talking about. But the Bible says the old is gone, the new is here. And sometimes we want the best thing, or rather the Lord wants for us the best thing, and we still cling to the old. It's like this. When I was a kid, I used to pretend I was driving a car. Me and my brother, Steve. Anybody ever do that as a boy? I used to have this little plastic steering wheel thing. And it was cool and had a little shifter. You know? And we used to sit on our bunk bed and put pillows around it. We'd sit behind the little wheel and we'd pretend we were driving a car. I think we'd stack up the pillows next to us like it was the door. And you'd open the pillow, climb in, shut it, and get in the car, boom, and we're kind of shaking, pretending the bed's moving like it's the car. Because if you stop, you always have to do one of them as a kid. Sometimes I do it in real life, but it was cool as a kid. Stop. You get out and you pretend you're in a different destination, right? You pretend you're at Wawa or something, and you climb back in. Right? And all of a sudden you're back home. Anybody ever do that, or was it just me? As a little boy, now Renee can't relate. You know what? While I think of that, and that's kind of neat, I haven't done that in a long time. You know? Maybe it's time, because it sounds good. But anybody want to take a guess as far as why I haven't done that in... I mean, it's been a long time. Because now I have a car. Right, right. Because once you have your car, once you get your license, you don't do that anymore.
Or then you pretend you're at your mom's house and you feel old.
Yeah, right. But you don't sit back and pretend on your bed that you're driving a car because now you have a real car.
And because we can go to Wawa.
Yeah. And you can really go to Wawa.
And you can score the tires.
It's really, yeah, I've done that a couple times. Really score your tires, right. And you know what? Because the new life is better than the old life. Do you see? The new life is better than the old life. Why pretend I'm driving the car when I really get to drive the car? In the same way, Christ came to give us a new life. Sometimes we hang on to our old things and we'll like pretend. And we're still living with our old life. And Jesus is thinking, will you stop playing with the toys? I've come to give you abundant life. You know? Will you stop being an immature little kid and come and be the man or the woman that I've called you to be? Because this is better. You know? It's time to grow up and really get into the great things of God, which are way better. I don't look back and say, I wish I never got my license so I could sit on my bunk bed. I don't do that. I'm glad I am where I am. In the same way, when we let go of our old lifestyle that's contrary to God, and we move on with Him, to be honest with you, I don't think you have to even worry about looking back saying, oh, I wish I never did that. Because the Lord will be at work in your life and He'll change you and shape you. And you'll look back and say, I used to play around with all that sin. I used to go every weekend and get drunk and think that was like the thing I lived for. And now I look back, that's ridiculous. I have more joy in my heart through Jesus than I ever did through Jack Daniels. Right? Amen. Anybody can relate to that? That I have more joy in my heart and more peace with God and more peace within myself than I ever did trying to do all the other stuff in the world. That Jesus has changed us. We need to forget the past, our old sin, our old lifestyle, and we need to move and grow in Christ. The other thing is our old life focus. Our old life focus. We always focused upon how I can have the best house, how I can have the best car, how I can get all this stuff so I can impress people who I don't like and they don't like me either. Right? That I want to get all this stuff so other people can say, wow, you've really accomplished a lot in your life. And I don't like them and they don't like me and they don't, right? Anybody ever, you try to impress people? There's some, I've married a lot of people. And I always try to encourage the couple to make sure they go on a honeymoon. Even if it's not much, go on a honeymoon. Spend less on your reception and more on your honeymoon. Because you're beginning your new life together. Get away and enjoy yourselves. And you won't believe how many couples have said, we don't have money for a honeymoon, but they're spending $8,000 on a wedding reception to impress people and relatives they don't even like. You know? And they, you know, the whole thing, you know how expensive that is. Open bar. Like, I don't drink, but Cousin Larry drinks. So we got to impress Cousin Larry. You know? No, you don't have to impress him. Do you like him? No. Does he like you? No. Good. Don't worry about it. Right? So many times we try to, in our whole life focus is to please others, and now our life focus should be to please the Lord. Right? We need to forget the past. Paul was somebody who wanted to please others and please his religion, please the other Pharisees, and he decided one day he wanted to please the Lord because Jesus showed up in his life and said, why are you persecuting me? And Jesus changed Paul. And Paul's focus shifted from here, the temporal, to the eternal with Christ. Jesus said it like this, everyone, Matthew 19:29, everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or property for my sake will receive 100 times as much in return and will inherit eternal life. Jesus said if you've lost your job for Him, He's going to bless you for that. If you've lost your family members for Him because you're standing for Him and they reject you, He's going to bless you for that. It says houses or property, whatever you have, if it's your wealth, He will bless you because you've taken a stand for Him. That your focus was on Him and not upon yourself, not accumulating stuff. Our old life focus needs to change. We need to let that go. Lastly here, our old life selfish ways. Jesus said, if you want to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, pick up your cross, and follow me. That's literally like, grab your electric chair, let's go. Because they understood, pick up your cross. We'll say, that means your burdens. I'm not saying this for me, so don't tell Donna. But other people will say, oh, I got to... My spouse is my cross I gotta bear, you know. My wife's a sweetheart. I'm not saying that. You're gonna get me in trouble. But have you heard that? Pick up your cross. Pick up your cross meant grab your electric chair, buddy. Because that was the method of death. Basically, I'm living with Jesus, and even if they kill me, that's fine. I'm living for Jesus. Because life has changed so much. Get rid of your selfish ways. It's not about what I want. It's about what the Lord wants. That's a big difference, right? Isn't that big? Because if we're going to possess that for which Jesus first possessed us, the reason why He called us and saved us, we need to forget the past. Your sin, your lifestyle, your old life focus, your selfish ways, we need to leave them and let them go. And that's the only way we can experience the good that God's called us to. The other part, we need to forget the past and we need to intentionally look forward to Jesus. Intentionally. Look forward to Jesus. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Hebrews is a great passage, Hebrews 12, 1 through 4, that really speaks of both of these parts of letting go of the past and looking forward to Jesus. Hebrews 12, 1 says, "Therefore, while we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross, disregarding its shame." You can write that verse down. I want to challenge you to read Hebrews 12, 1 through 4, and maybe even put that to memory. What a great passage of what it means to live for Christ. He says, lay down the sin that so easily trips us up and keep our eyes on Jesus. His analogy here is trying to run away, or run a race like for the Olympics, and you got all the sin wrapped around you, packages of your past, you know. You can just picture this guy carrying this huge, huge, heavy load that we're supposed to give to Jesus. And you're trying to run a race. Paul says, get rid of that stuff. Drop it down and look at Jesus. Jesus is the prize. Jesus is the one who's run the good race. Let's just live for Him and worship. Amen. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Isn't that different? With our life, to live a successful life for Christ, we can't just do whatever we want to do and live in our own sin and focus upon us and expect to have an abundant life. We need to lay aside the foolish stuff, the childish stuff, but also the sin, the stuff that don't glorify God. And we need to look at Jesus. And He changes us. And that makes all the difference. That makes all the difference. The passage in 1 Corinthians 9 is fantastic. So fantastic, I stuck it in here as the third thing, even though it doesn't fit the Philippians passage. This is still Paul that talks about how we press on to Jesus in 1 Corinthians 9:24. I'll read this to you. He says, "Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what I should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." So he says here, you know, we need to train ourselves to keep this focus, to discipline yourself like an athlete disciplines, like you go to training camp and you learn how to do the things you need to do. He says, "I discipline my body to live this life with Christ." Are there times where Paul looks back at his sin or looks back and begins to slip back into his old ways of doing things? Yeah, we know there is, because I believe it's Romans 8 where he says, you know, the things I want to do for God, I can't do them. The things that I don't want to do in this life, that's the stuff that I end up doing. Paul tells us in other places in Scripture that in his heart, his fallen nature is still, by default, not living for Jesus. He starts to go on his own way. He starts doing his own thing and he starts falling back into sin. But what does he do? He disciplines himself. He gets to a point of saying, stop doing this. Lord Jesus, forgive me again. And I'm going to do what I can to live for the Lord and put my focus back on Him through His strength. We can't say, I'm going to do all I can to try harder, although we should, but we have to say, Lord Jesus, give me the strength and help me to overcome this, because it's not in my own strength that I can do anything. It's only through Christ. So it's not that we're not saved because we really, really, really tried to be good on our own. We're saved because of Jesus. And once we are saved, we don't live a holy life because we really, really, really try on our own either. We live a holy life for God without sin. We move towards that through Him, right? Jesus saves us, but He also gives us His Spirit and helps us to live for Him. But Paul said he disciplines himself. He brings himself back. When he starts going downhill, he stops. I need you, Jesus. Change me. I'm going to get back on track with your help, and we're going to live this life. Because again, I want to know Him. I want to experience His power. I want to suffer for Him. because of all that He's done for me. So he presses on, keep your focus upon the return of Jesus. That's important. As that video said, sooner or later we're going to stand before the Lord. And honestly, those of you who have been around the earth any kind of time, life goes by fast, don't it? And this isn't. I don't want this to be, oh man, tell me I'm going to die every week, Pastor Jim. Be positive. It's not that. But truth is, we need a dose of reality so when we get at the end of our life, the things that are important, they're the things that we focused on. You know what I mean? The last thing that I want for you is to get at the end of your life and have you say, you know, I've really wasted so much time. The things you're going to care about are probably your family, probably your kids, probably serving for Jesus and living for Him, probably not another day at work. I don't know anybody that on your deathbed says, oh, I wish I would have just had another day working. No, you're going to care about other things. And as believers, let's focus upon the return of Jesus. We'll stand before Him one day. That's good news. That's good news. We need to look forward to His coming. And Paul, the next part on your paper, he gives a few examples here. We need to. Your next blank is to choose our heroes wisely. Verse 17. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your life after mine. Pattern your lives after mine and learn to follow our example. It's godly examples. Another way we get to press on, like I said, stay focused on Jesus. Let everything down, follow Jesus. Look forward to Him. Keep your focus on Jesus. The other thing is choose your heroes wisely. Choose your heroes wisely. There are people who we look up to, who can encourage us in the faith. Make sure you're looking up to the right people. Choose your heroes wisely. I heard Pastor Mark Driscoll shared a neat thought on how we can choose our heroes. And he says, out of all your heroes of the faith, choose the dead ones. Because you know how their story ends. Choose people like Martin Luther, D.L. Moody, choose people like William Tyndale, great men of the faith who lived their lives in spite of persecution for Jesus, and you know they didn't blow it at the end. What a neat idea. But whatever you do, choose your heroes wisely. Paul opened up and he said, pattern your life after his. Paul is a great hero. Get into the Word and learn about Paul, right? Learn about people. He also says, pattern your life after mine and learn from those who follow your example. Look at others who are following you. Look at others who are following you and make sure you're being the hero to them that you should. But not everybody's good, huh? Ungodly examples. Not everybody is a good example. He goes on, verse 18 and 19. For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. Paul says, you know what? There's some people who shouldn't be your heroes. Anybody, don't name them, but do you know people who probably shouldn't be a hero? Right? People who, yeah, sports people, whatever, people who shouldn't be a hero. He said, you know what? I say it with tears in my eyes. There are many people whose conduct shows they're really enemies of the cross. Now, were their words saying that? Probably not, because he's saying, as I looked at their lifestyle, I see they're really not on the same team. That they might go to your same church, they might say all the right things, they might even wear a blue t-shirt. Oh, Lord, I hope not. You know, one of the or church shirts in the back. Maybe they even got the t-shirt. And their conduct shows they're really enemies of the cross. We need to be careful whose example we follow. And then he lists these things, and if you think about it, as we look through this verse, they go back to all that we said we should do. It's the opposite of that. They are headed for destruction, verse 19. Their destination's hell. Ours is heaven, right? We were just saying, look forward to the return of Christ. Their destination is destruction. Their God is their appetite. They're selfish. They live for themselves. They want themselves to be fat and plump, if not physically, at least spiritually, at least just enjoy the things in life. You know, there's no problems with drunkenness. There's no problems with just fulfilling every appetite you have, whether it be lust, whether it be drunkenness, whether it be relationships, whether it being important and you want people to worship you and say how good you are and how important you are. They're just selfish. Their God is their appetite. It says that they brag about shameful things. They haven't left their old lifestyle of sin. That these are people who should be saved and they should be changed, but they're just bragging about shameful stuff. You know? Their focus is earthly. It says they think only about life here on earth. We just said what? Focus Jesus. Right? Keep our focus on Jesus. I knew this guy who claimed to love the Lord, claimed to be, you know, a good Christian. And in some ways, where I was in my life as a teenager, I looked up to this guy as the real deal. And then I noticed as time went on of being friends with him, I would hear things in his language and his actions that were contrary to Christ. You know? Like all of a sudden we're joking and his jokes kind of have a dirty nature to him a little bit. I thought, that's weird. Why does he think that's funny and why is he sharing that with me? And then with his language, you'll notice him using some profanity a little bit here and a little bit there. Something would happen, he'd drop a word he used to not say around me. Next thing you know, his actions are a little bit different. Well, to fast forward, he ended up nowhere near serving Jesus. I thought he was a godly example to me. And then as you see his life years later and got to see what happened to him, he had inward sin and nastiness of his heart and all those little things that I saw bubble up that I thought, that's a little weird. That was just the fruit that showed, that was beginning to show from the sin that was at the root of his heart. Come to find out, his life wasn't for Jesus at all. Like, I don't know that he was never saved. I don't know. I can't make that. But something happened. And all of a sudden, he was no longer the godly example that he should have been. And I saw these little signs, and it wasn't until years later that it clicked. After I saw the tragedy in his life and thought, that's what that was. All those little signs, that's what that was. Be careful who you look up to. And also know this, if you're the ungodly example, people will see little bubbles. You will have little buds of fruit in your life. You can't hide stuff. It'll get out. So we need to make sure we live for Christ. So my question that I want to answer real quickly is, well, how can you tell if someone is godly or ungodly? Two things. The references are on your page. By their actions, Jesus said, beware the false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but they're really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is the way they act. A good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. It doesn't really work any other way. You judge a tree, verse 20, you can identify a tree by its fruit. Just as you can do that, you can identify people by their actions. Look closely at people, right? If you're going to see if they're a good example for you, look closely at them. Watch their actions. The last one, watch their words. Jesus said this. The references are on your paper. I'm talking about the tree again. A tree is identified by its fruit. If it's a good tree, the fruit will be good. If it's a bad tree, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes, he says. How could evil men like you speak what is right and good? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, An evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Jesus said, you can judge if you have a godly example or an ungodly example by their words. And again, as I was saying with someone who was my friend, I saw these bubbles of these words that wasn't like this before. And in hindsight, his heart has took a bent away from Jesus. And he began walking away from the Lord. And I saw it come out in his words. And I saw it come out in his actions just a little bit. When you see that, be careful. And you know what the other thing that is probably good? Pray for them. Pray for them. Try and be a friend to them. You know? Maybe ask them, what's up? How's your life with Jesus? But be careful who you look up to. Because if we look up to the wrong people, that could train wreck our lives, couldn't it? That's why I think the pastor's suggestion of look up to people who are dead might be a good one. Because you know they live for Jesus. The book's already been written. Grab the book and let them speak to your life, including the Apostle Paul, who lived for Jesus, who focused on Jesus. Almost done. Almost done. Why do we press on? Why do we press on? Two verses. Good verses. Anybody ready for good verses? Yeah? Here we go. Last two. But we are citizens of heaven. He was talking about those people who live life focused on earth, look at shameful things, ungodly examples. He says, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And we are eagerly waiting for Him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like His own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under His control. First blank here, we are citizens of heaven. Heaven is where our citizenship is, right? See, we'll live life differently if we focus upon heaven. Why should we press on for the things of God? Because our name is up there. It's already reserved. It's already reserved, right? We already have not even just our passport. I guess I should say we don't get a passport to heaven. It's maybe more like a green card. You know? That's where we live. We're a citizen, right? We have our citizenship. We're not just going to visit. But when we receive Christ, we become citizens of heaven. This is a new phrase for Philippians. Philippians 1:27. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. He's already said we were citizens of heaven. Remember that? That was like a million years ago when I preached on that. Citizens of heaven. We are citizens of heaven. 1 Peter 2:11 and 12. Peter says, dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from the worldly desires that war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly against your or among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, or if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and will give honor to God when He judges the world. Our real home is heaven. 1 Peter 2:11 and 12, Peter says this, you're just foreigners and temporary residents here. It's not that your passport is in heaven. Your passport is actually earth. And we're just passing through. You're only here temporary. We're just like on vacation, you know? This is it. This is just a short period of time. And he says, live in such a way that even if people hate you, they at least have to respect you because you're genuine with what you believe. And that you really love Jesus and they can see that it's at least real for you. And it'll give them opportunity to allow God to work in their lives. He says, you're just visiting here. Our citizenship is in heaven. Now, to be honest with you, as a younger guy, that's something that I try and think about and dwell upon. Because usually when you're a younger guy, it seems like you're going to live forever and you're almost indestructible. You know? We need to get back to, you know what? I will stand before Jesus. We will be in heaven. You know? Let heaven be a reality in your life. We press on to because we're moving towards heaven. Because God wants to work in our life. Our citizenship is in heaven. very last blank on your paper. And guess what? Jesus is coming back. And we're eagerly waiting for Him to return as our Savior. Isn't that good? We're looking forward to Him. Do you see it's all about Jesus? So that's why we do church. That's why we live a life for Him. That's why we lay down our past. Because it's all about Jesus. It's all about living for Him now. It's all about growing in Him, being filled with more of Him and His Spirit, right? And ultimately, we will see Him face to face. And the last part said, we get new bodies. Did you see that in the passage? Anybody want a new body? Lou wants his old body in heaven. Did anybody see that on Facebook, the big picture of Lou? Lou wants his old body, but for those of us who want a new one, He will take our weak, mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like His own. Carmel, your foot will be fine in heaven. Isn't that good? In fact, are you going to play kickball with us here in a few weeks? If not, in heaven you'll play kickball. Actually, in heaven we're playing tackle football because you can't get hurt. For real. But we get new bodies. Isn't that good? Yeah, but we won't get hurt. There'll be no more crying, no sickness, no pain. That means no broken legs, nothing. It'll be good. Heaven will be great. No more crying. So even if you tackle me, I won't cry. I'll get up. Here, I might cry. There, I won't cry. That's good. So we get new bodies. So again, we press on. We press on. And it's all about Jesus. It's about seeing Him, living for Him. Isn't that good? So we press on. Now how about when we don't feel like it, we still press on? How about when our friends call us and want us to go back out to our old sinful lifestyle? We still press on for the Lord. Are we rude? We don't have to be rude. You know? But we still press on. Because by default, if we leave ourselves alone, we always go downhill like a plane when you take your foot off the gas. But Jesus is worth so much that we need to press on. We're not saved because we press on. But because He saved me and He died for me and He's changed my life, I owe Him that. I owe Him my focus, right? I owe Him my life. I owe Him everything. And you know what? We'll get to see Him again, and what a day that'll be. What a day that'll be. Amen. The Lord is good, isn't He? Well, we're going to go ahead and pray. We'll take our offering in a second. Hallelujah. Let's just pray this morning and thank the Lord for what He's done in our life. Amen. If you don't know Jesus today, this is your chance to know Him. That this life we're talking about, oh my, it's so much better than living for yourself. Instead of trying to live a good life, like I was pretending I was driving a car, you'll get to drive your new life with Jesus. And you won't have to pretend that it's good, and you won't have to pretend that you're not lonely anymore, because Jesus will help you. He will be with you, and He will walk with you through this life. Will it always be easy? No. It won't always be easy, but I tell you what, it's better with Him than without. Without Him, you can be completely overwhelmed and overloaded. With Him, we know He only gives us as much as we can bear, and we can trust Him. If you don't know Him and you want to pray today, I want to ask you for a second just to slip up your hand, and I'm going to pray with you to commit your life to Christ. I see that hand. Anybody else today that you need Him to forgive you and you want to be forgiven by Him today? Anyone else? All right, let's go ahead and pray this morning. If that's you, I want you to pray with your heart, with everything that you have, this prayer to Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, my life has been messed up, and I'm tired of doing things on my own. I have sin. I've done so many things wrong. But I want Your forgiveness. And I want to start over. And I know that You died on the cross for my sin. And You love me. Because of Your death and Your resurrection, I ask You that You would forgive me of my sin. Forgive me. Wash me clean. Help me to repent of my sin. Help me. Give me the strength to stop sinning and to turn my life around and live for You. Be my Savior and my Master. Fill me with Your Spirit. And help me to live for You today. In Your name. Amen. If that's you and you prayed that prayer this morning, I want you to know that Jesus has come into your heart. The Word says He's faithful and just. He forgives us. He's faithful. Amen. Last thing here before we, if Bill's ready for the offering, the last thing we're going to pray, then we're going to go right into the offering. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, today I want to make a commitment to pressing on with the Lord. And I want you to pray for me that I'm able to do that. If that's here and your decision is, I want to press on for Christ, then I'm going to ask you to do this thing. I'm going to ask you to stand up where you are now and I want to pray for you. We're not asking you to confess your sins to anybody around you. To be honest, nothing is anybody's business. I ask you to stand for this reason because I think God is calling us to take a stand for Him. And I can't ask you to take a stand for Him by sitting. So if you're here and you want to stand for Christ and you want me, I'm going to pray for you now that you continue to press on living for the Lord. I think it's only fitting that we open up just our hearts and perhaps even our arms in worship to the Lord and ask Him to change us and use us. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray right now for my friends and family here this morning. Lord, all those who have made a decision afresh and anew to press on into You, to live for You, Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name that You would help them. Lord, that You would fill them with Your Spirit, God, that You would allow them to live for You. Lord, all of us knows what the world is like. Lord, all of us knows that it seems like we could constantly get just hit and bombarded with sin and temptation everywhere. We can't even watch a baseball game without being tempted with some kind of a commercial or something, Lord. That the world is out to get us. But today, we say that we want to press on into You. We declare, Lord, that while the world is seems like they're pressing on into sin, we will press on into You. Lord God, we look forward to Your return. We know we will stand before You. And we pray that You would help us to live for You for all the time that we have left. If it's 5 years from now You return, help us to live for You. If it's in 10 seconds, may this be the next. The best 10 seconds of our life living for You. If it's 1,000 years from now, we want to live our entire lives for You. But we want to pursue You and hang on to You, Lord, and press on into You so that others would see our lives and we would point them to You. But Lord, even more importantly, we just want to live for You because of all that You've done for us. We just want to live for You in worship and in love. Help us, Jesus. Fill us with Your Spirit and help us to live for You. In Christ's name, amen.